Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, and welcome to the Clown Hour. This is your host with the most, Scott Burks. Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday. Thursday. This podcast being Wednesday night. Moved it to tonight because my anniversary was yesterday, so I figured it wouldn't be a good idea to schedule a podcast on a on a Wednesday night. So moved it to a Thursday night. This is a special Thursday edition of the Clown Hour podcast. And I also created a sports blog called The Clown Times, Clown Spirit with K, and this is the actual podcast component of the Clown Times sports blog. You're able to find the blog on the web at www.theclowntimes.net, and you're able to find me on Facebook as well. So whether you're on your smartphone, laptop, desktop, wherever you are, just go to Facebook and go to the search one, type in The Clown Times. Again, it's Clown Spirit with K. You'll find me there. Yeah, a bit to get into tonight. We're going to talk about what's good in the NBA bubble. We've winded down the regular season games. I call it the 8-game tune-up for all the teams that are in the bubble, as well as this notion that that Commissioner Adam Silver is looking to bring in some additional guests, i.e. IG hoes and whatnot. I think it's going to fuck up everything as far as COVID is concerned. But we're also going to talk about the major college football conferences, i.e. the Power 5, the SEC, ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, Big 10, that are looking to bring in the fall football season or not. Two of them are not, and three are, even though one's kind of iffy on the fence right now. So we're going to talk about all that with my man, my co-host, my partner, Crum. Now I know him from the yard, such as HBCU Sports. We rap about all things HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio on Facebook Live every Tuesday night, as well as his contributions to HeroSports.com and HBCUSports.com. I messed that up every time. I continue to confuse over HBCU Game Day. But anyway, here to correct me on that is Dwayne Nash. How you doing, sir?
No, you got it right this week. It is HBCUSports.com.
Oh, yes. I tend to mess that up every single time.
That is fine. That is fine, man. Hey, my thing is, you know, as long as if you're a fan of HBCU Sports, you know, there's a plethora of options where you can get your information from. We all come from it from various angles that are all based in the knowledge of what's going on and our own perspective and intelligence. So, you know, I'm here to support anyone that's out here supporting HBCU Sports.
Man, that's good, because that's where it's at, man. And we've had podcasts throughout the last couple of months alone on HBCU Sports and the impact that's going on with what's going on socially in this country, you know, as well as possible follow-up stuff, which we're going to get to later this year, I'm sure. So it's good to always talk about that. It's good to always look out and come on home. That's what you tell these some of these student athletes. So NBA bubble, they get the chance to really holler at you much about the NBA bubble. I mean, we did a little bit last week, but you know, as far as how the NBA has carried out the circumstances with like dealing with the pandemic, as far as testing procedures, and not many cats, well, no one actually being infected during this time.
No one.
It's A+. Mm-hmm. I give them A+. And I also, we'll talk about this in a minute, more so in a minute, give Adam Silver more A+s on how they tackle social issues throughout, like during mm-hmm. this restart. And the question he fielded from the media regarding the fans and their ignorant, like, points of views on athletes and social justice stuff. But anyway, but let's just start with the teams and the play that went on in the bubble. I thought the play has been outstanding. And that's not, I mean, for a 4 or 5 month layoff, they ain't bad. As far as the quality, it is not bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm happy, and that's one of the things I'm happiest about. But just give me your take on what your impressions of the NBA and this restart and the bubble as we lead up into the playoffs. I think the playoffs start this weekend or early next week.
Yeah, get ready because it starts Saturday. You know, we want to get a play-in game, or a play-in scenario at least, from the West, most definitely. And the two teams, whoever it is out of these four, man, oh, man, I'm going to enjoy watching play at least one, if not two, games.
Right.
The play as a whole, I've enjoyed it. And I've after about maybe 4 or 5 games in, you know, I was starting to expect, okay, for teams like the Lakers, the Bucks, and eventually the Clippers, this was legit a tune-up for them as they were getting to the playoffs. So they were starting to, you know, work on certain things, experiment, figure out who would be best
right.
for the rotation, especially with the Lakers and the various additions that they've made leading up to coming into the bubble. But everyone else was fighting for position or fighting for a spot into the playoffs. Out of all the teams that made it, of course, my beloved Wizards was the only one to make it seem like they just didn't – well, it wasn't that they didn't want to be there. It was legit the G League team. It was legit the DC go-go out there with the Wizards, man, because, you know, you're missing Bertans. You're missing Bradley Beal. And, of course, John Wall has been on the shelf. Everyone else – if anyone else can name the starting five for the – or anyone a member of the starting five for the Wizards, I'd be shocked. But – it is what it is, man. You know, they did what they could. They finally got a win today.
Yeah.
What's that?
And
you know,
they
got a win today.
Bagger, right?
Yes. Rui Hachimura. That's the one that I guess everyone could name, right? It's because he was like the
That's all I can name, too.
See, exactly, right? Well. But, you know, other guys that I know, well, see, look at me. As soon as I say that, I pause, right? That's sad. That's real sad. Jimmy Robinson, Thomas Bryan, you know, there's a plethora of guys. I'm still getting used to. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and be frank. I don't watch them. It's because it is what it is.
I don't think many people
play basketball. My, yeah, but
I don't think we're
bad
watching either.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're not watching. But enough about bad basketball. Good basketball. So
right.
Everyone else fighting for playoff spots. Fighting to go ahead and extend next season. It's been great basketball from the likes of
yes,
watching James Harden play, the duo of Porzingis and Luka Doncic up there in Dallas, watching Chris Paul and OKC and the youngsters that they have out there, watching Boston and that team that they have. The unfortunate loss of Ben Simmons in Philadelphia and trying to figure out how they're going to keep their head above water against the Celtics in the next round. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo over in Miami, well, with Miami, that is. I'm sorry, Bam Adebayo, almost mispronounced his name. The Toronto Raptors out there with their squad as deep as they are, everyone has if they weren't winning games, they were at least looking good in spots. The team that I'm most impressed with, though, has been the play of the Phoenix Suns and Devin Booker. I understand
yes,
it hasn't been Devin by himself, but Devin's been balling out, and they've been fighting as if they really want this playoff spot. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to be disappointed if they don't, if they win out and don't make it into the playoffs. That's going to disappoint me. And there's a chance that that can happen. But, you know, I applaud them for the way that they've come out during this time in the bubble to make it look like they want to go ahead and compete and to show the rest of the league that, hey, if we can keep this play up, this is what we're going to look like next year.
You know what? I'm mad that we're probably going to have Memphis in the play-in game. They don't deserve to get in there. Stand the day, the injuries ravaged them. And I love Ja Morant. I really love Dylan Brooks as well. But damn it, they hadn't wowed me the way Phoenix has, and Portland has as well. I mean, Damian Lillard.
Yes, God, Portland. You know what? Dame Dolan was easy to get you, right? Because everyone's been singing the praises of Dame. The one guy that I'm going to go ahead and talk about, of course, is the wily old vet out there wearing the double O in honor of my man Kevin Duckworth. Carmelo Anthony. My God. Couldn't pay attention to it until Mark Jackson pointed it out. There's certain times in which, of course, if Melo sees he has a height advantage, he's going old school. He's backing somebody down and playing with his back to the basket, something that we rarely see with these young guys. And, hell, something that we rarely see with these older young guys, and I'm saying that with air quotes, with the likes of LeBron. We may occasionally see LeBron back someone down, but we don't see it that much. That's what Melo has been doing. That's what he does. And for him to continue to do that in the way that the style that this league is playing right now, you know, takes me back to the 90s, man, and I love seeing that done. But, yeah, like you said, you cannot discredit anything that Dame has done this entire time, with the exception of course those two free throws he missed against the LA Clippers. But yeah, he's been killer the entire time. And you know, LA Clippers, all you did was just woke a sleeping giant during that game. And that the Clippers actually came from behind to win. When he missed those late free throws by, you know, laughing at him. He comes out and has some of the biggest games, not only of this season, but of his career afterwards. He had 61 in his last one. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens if the Portland Trailblazers face the L.A. Lakers in the first round.
And you know what Dame Dollar said at the end of last game, and I can quote it for you since it's a podcast, we say whatever the hell he wants. Put some respect in my fucking name. That's what he said. At the end. You can read lips easily. That's what the brother said. So, you know, there you go. But going back to Skinny Melo for a minute, I mean, check out his stat line since the bubble. Against Houston, he scored 15 points. Had 11 rebounds. In the second game against Denver, he didn't have so much of a game, only 7 points, 5 boards. But in that loss against the Clippers, he had 21 points, 7 rebounds. Against Philadelphia, he had 20 points, 7 rebounds. Uh-huh. And the last game, he had 26 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. That's Skinny Melo, ladies and gentlemen. Future Hall of Famer, Carmelo Anthony. I put some respect on his name. So, dude playing well. Hopefully, CJ McCollum will come around one of these days. He's given some decent numbers as well. But how about that Gary Trent Jr., man? I know he's cooled off some. But, man, that kid from Duke University, he was just lighting it up, man, from three, the first three or four games in the bubble.
Man, listen.
Yeah.
That roster that they have. So, okay, of course, like I said before, we've been seeing the praises of Dame and Carmelo, right? C.J. McCollum is all-star caliber. Hopefully he can go ahead and get back on track and have that level of play, right? Hassan Whiteside, another all-star caliber player. Gary Trent Jr. has been playing well since being in the bubble. The one guy who I completely forgot about, because, of course, he's been battling a lot of injury over the past year and a half, is Nurkic. I forgot Nurkic was back on the roster. My God, to have that big man come out there and give you potentially 8-8-8 or better on a nightly basis and could potentially give you more, you know, is another threat that the Portland Trailblazers give you. I don't know if they necessarily beat the Lakers. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that they don't beat the Lakers. But my hope is that it's going to be fun, especially with an opportunity to see Melo and LeBron go up against each other one more time.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That would be mad cool. But so you said one last time. Well, I know no future matchup is guaranteed. I think Melo has a few, at least a couple more years, good years left of him. I think that's two more years.
And I agree, because he's not looking like he's tired. He hasn't come out and said that he's going to retire. You know, if Portland wants to keep him, they probably will. If Portland, what am I saying? That's just reiterating exactly what I said. If Portland keeps him, it'll be great for the young players to continue to learn from him. Even if he decides to go elsewhere, it'll be interesting to see what happens, where he lands. The only reason why I say one last time, I may have said one more time. Either way, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, no playoff matchup is what's the word? It's given. And we don't know, and for various reasons, it may not be given. You know, the seeding could be different depending upon the teams that they'll be on in the future. Melo might end up in the East, and we might not see it again. You know, or the Portland Trail Blazers just don't make it to the playoffs, or the team that he's on just doesn't make it to the playoffs. There are various reasons, but, you know, just one more opportunity to potentially see it. Of course, they still have to get through the play-in situation, depending upon who they play. And the teams that they could play, San Antonio Spurs, Phoenix Suns, Memphis Grizzlies, they're all good teams. I know Memphis has been facing a lot of, like you said earlier, a lot of injuries. And they really don't deserve it. They came into the bubble as the eighth seed, and they're on the outside looking in and could very easily get past on play from tomorrow. Right now,
I
don't want to see them back in. They can.
They clinched the spot.
They can.
They did. They clinched the spot. They clinched the spot, yeah.
Oh, they did?
They clinched the spot today. Yep, they clinched the bubble
today.
They clinched it today. So they clinched at least a 9 spot. So if Portland wins, they'll be the 8th seed. If they'll be 8th seed or not, I think Memphis will get the 8th seed and Phoenix will be the 9th seed. But either way, I wanted to see Phoenix and Portland go at it so badly. I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, so
those are two great storylines, but we're not going to get that because I know that Memphis is going to be one of the squads. And again, I love Ja Morant. I like Dylan Brooks. But, I mean, Phoenix going 8-0 in the bubble. Devin Booker. I would love to see him.
Devin Booker, yeah.
Well, because the ball. I hadn't seen much of a ball because, it's Phoenix. They play early in the day, and I don't care about Phoenix games, but I cared like the last two nights because they've been playing so well. And, and Devin, that dude, he's a superstar. He's a young superstar. And, you know, he had one shit, but he still has superstar intangibles, at least. But we're going to get at least Memphis. And the guy in me who wants to see a competitive first round matchup is pulling hard for Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Portland will give LA, the Lakers, so many fits. Because that's a bad matchup for the Lakers on paper. So,
mm-hmm.
again, I'm just happy to have basketball back, like most people, most fans. But I was hoping to see Portland and Phoenix streak into the playing game. But speaking of the playing game right quick, we'll get to other stuff with the NBA. But how cool is the playing game prospect? I mean, it only happened. I know just this one time around, but I wish they could continue it just for interest's sake. Only happens, I think, if the ninth seed is within two games of the eighth seed, or maybe a game within the eighth. Two? Is it two?
It's four. It's four.
Oh, four. If there were four games of the eighth. So, and then the ninth seed has to win twice to get in over the eighth seed. Only has to win once, which is fair, more than fair. But that added more intrigue to this bubble, which this bubble has already been intriguing. But just think about the regular season, that teams would be fighting hard. The 8-9 seed would be fighting hard, and the 7 seed too, because they don't want to be in that playing game. So at least that will increase interest, and teams will try and not mill it in early on, that really in contention. That would be cool if the NBA actually adopts that for future seasons.
I'm just trying to figure out how that scenario would work. I mean, it would work the same way, of course, during the regular season, but I'm just trying to figure out how would that play out in that situation. Where would they play the potential two games? You know, do they go ahead and give home court – well, it would technically be home court advantage to the eighth seed and have them play both games at the eighth seed's home arena?
I think they would. I think they would. I think they should. I think they should. Both games be at the eighth seed's home court. I think they should do that.
That'd be tough. That'd be tough. It would be even tougher, say, like, for the likes of, say, if it was Oklahoma City and Portland, right?
Right.
In the 8-9 scenario, to have to play in OKC one night and then have to travel and play in Portland the next, there would have to be, I guess, a day's.
I would say
What's
just
that?
Have both games at the AC. I say have both games at the AC.
Yeah.
I'd say have both at the AC because that would give the AC seed an advantage because they actually were the highest seed, right?
Yeah.
And typically, the ninth seed would be kind of sorry in the first place. I mean, you're a ninth seed for a reason. So it gives the ninth seed an opportunity to truly earn it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Whereas the eighth seed, again, has to win only once. But the ninth seed has to beat them twice. And they have to beat them twice on the eighth seed's home floor. That's how I could think that would be more than fair in that scenario.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I think they could do it. I don't know if they will going forward, but it's created more intrigue, and that's, I mean, hey, it's an entertainment business. One intrigue, you got to do what you can to keep the interest level going. But, I mean, as far as everything else, though, I think for the most part, the rest of the NBA has been set as far as positions. I don't think that any more seedings is up for grabs, right, particularly in the Eastern Conference. Everywhere is pretty much set. Like Miami,
everything's
like New
locked. The only thing that's not locked is who's going to be the higher seed between Miami and Indiana. And whoever wins in that final game between them, that'll be the fourth seed. So it's all about, you know, do you want to play against potentially Milwaukee in the second round or not? So that's all that is.
Yeah, and also, since both of them are locked in, both of them are locked in the 4 and the 5.
Yeah.
Right. It's just that if Indiana were to win, just for pride's sake, they just be the 4th seed, Miami be the 5th seed. Everyone else is set. Like Milwaukee, obviously the overall seed period, but the top seed in the East. Toronto, Boston, the 2nd seed, Philly, the 6th seed, Brooklyn and Orlando, the 7th and 8th seed, respectively. So, either way, the winner of Miami and Atlanta will get Milwaukee in the second round. But, you know, I think it's more of a pride thing with those two, and especially given the fact that both those squads don't really care for each other all that much, which makes it more cooler, in my opinion. I would love to see Jimmy Butler, T.J. Warren, go at it. And speaking of T.J. Warren, how about T.J. Warren? Dude was lighting it up, man. NC State product. Lighting it up during this bubble. I mean, you could tell he took the training and the off time seriously. He put in the work. Aside from, what's his name, Chris Middleton of Milwaukee, who said that he didn't touch a basketball. But you could tell that he wants to put in that work. I'm happy for the brother. I just wanted to see how they'll be like once the stakes are much higher when the playoffs start this Saturday. But I was very impressed with them. And I think it goes to the coaching development of Nate McMillan, who signed a 1-year extension 2 days ago, I think. But props to TJ Warren. Props to TJ Warren, first of all. Props to him.
I'm just disappointed that they didn't have Sabonis and they won't have him for the playoffs during this time, because it would have been very interesting to see how much better this team would have been with T.J. Warren playing better and Oladipo being there this roster. I would have been intrigued to see what that team fully loaded would have looked like against this Toronto Raptors team at the number 2 seed, because, you know, just say if they would have failed. Well, actually, it doesn't matter, because that 4-5 win, it still goes up against the number 1, so it don't even matter. It's all about, like you said, it's all about for pride, I guess, if there is any pride for saying that, you know, you're still going to have to play this team in this scenario still. So, yeah.
I think it's a matter of, like, mind games in the atmosphere, because you can imagine, like, Jimmy Butler going up to T.J. Warren and coming to say, you know, we swept y'all this season.
Yeah.
We have yet to lose to you. And that would get, you know, that gets in the players' heads, right? And other people would want to ball out too much or just shrink, you know, either way. That definitely affect them. So, but that's going to be interesting, especially given there's no true home court advantage.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, It's like a glorified AAU tournament. This is like a professional AAU tournament. This is what it boils down to. You got teams playing earlier, and the next team will go out there like maybe 30 minutes or so after that first game. And, you know, it's cool, though. And I love the virtual fans. I love the Zoom, like, effect of fans sitting down and tuning in via Zoom or whatever that they use. That's very cool too, and bringing in the crowd noise and everything. That's cool. The NBA has done a hell of a job with its startup. I mean, I've been very, very impressed with them. Very impressed with them. But
that's what happens when you have the money. That's what happens when you have the money to do stuff like this. Because if you're in a situation, like the TBT, because this is a high powered version of the TBT, the basketball tournament. You have grown men playing in the basketball tournament, but because of the money that they have the ability to have the virtual fans to bring it. Well, like the wherewithal to bring in the crowd noise and have a DJ there. And all kinds of stuff like that to enhance the feel of the game, to make it as close to an NBA experience as you can have under the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really did that. But one last thing before we get into the Western Conference, one team that really impressed me has been Brooklyn. Talk about glorified G League. They have no one aside from maybe Joe Smith. I think that's his name, the white dude that's 3-point champion, and a few other cats. But you're talking about a team sans Kyrie Irving, sans Kevin Durant, sans Dinwiddie. I mean, Brooklyn's ball. And that's a great job for the coaching staff. And they're just so well run. It makes me mad and sick as a Knicks fan to see this. But, you know, but hey, it is what it is. I mean, they play my home borough of Brooklyn. I still call them New Jersey from time to time, but I guess they're Brooklyn now. But it just makes me sick as a fan to see that. But, you know, I think that Philly has been a team that's disappointed me in the East. I know that injuries are bugging them. They'll be without Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I don't know what's going on with him health-wise. I think there'll be a coach change by at the end of the season because the team is too talented to be this mediocre. I know they have a decent record, but given their talent, they should be better than the sixth seed. They shouldn't be looking up at the likes of Indiana and Miami. Let's put it that way. But, I mean, I would say this, man. Looking at the East, some delicious matchups, aside from the Miami-Indiana series, I think Toronto and Brooklyn has a sneaky chance of being a very good series. Both teams are well coached. Both teams are scrappy. Both teams are some fundamentally sound. They can ball. Toronto, I think, is a more talented version of Brooklyn. But I think that could be a very entertaining series. And, you know, just keep an eye on the 4 and 5 being Miami, Indiana, and the 2 and 7 being Toronto and Brooklyn.
Yeah, because if memory serves me, when they came into the bubble, Brooklyn was the 8th seed. And I really thought that Washington –
right.
You know, well, I was hoping that Washington would be able to pull into 4 games within Brooklyn to go ahead and make it a playing situation between the two of them. The thing is, unfortunately, my Wizards couldn't win a game until today. And the Brooklyn Nets have gone 5-2 in their time here with one more game remaining to go ahead and move up to the 7th spot. And like you said, they've been without key talent. The only person that I can name off the top of my head without looking at their roster is DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan hasn't necessarily been the guy on that roster. It's been that young dude with the afro. I can't remember what his name is. But he has been the go-to guy to Brooklyn during their time inside of the bubble. And he's been the reason why that they've been having the output that they've had. The question is, though, I don't know if they're necessarily strong enough to compete with the Toronto Raptors. If they're capable of getting the 5 games in the first round against them, it would be huge for them, especially with the guys that they're missing. But I still want to see exactly how that turns out, because I really do expect the Toronto Raptors to come through that series easily. Because they're a deeper team. They're one of the deeper, if not the deepest team in the league right now.
Right. And I forgot about Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert has been playing very, very well.
That's right. I forgot about LeVert, yes.
That last few games, man, scored 17 against Orlando, the first game inside the bubble. 34 against your beloved Wizards. 13 against the Celtics and the loss against the Celtics, but against Sacramento, 22 points. The Clippers, 27 points. Both of those being wins. And Joe Harris is the guy that I couldn't think of, the 3-point shooter.
That's right.
Joe Harris from Virginia. Cavalier. I think, is that, I'm trying to look up the guy that you talked about earlier. Can't find his name. But anyway, the guy with the fro. But, yeah, the point being that I think his name – is it Jared Allen? Yeah, it's Jared Allen.
It's Jared Allen.
Yeah. He's been playing well. I mean, yes, we look at his stat line. I agree, 14 points against Orlando, 22 against your Wizards, 11 and 8 against Boston, 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists against Sacramento, 16 points, 16 rebounds. 4 assists, 2 blocks against the Clippers.
Yeah. Yes. All these guys aren't necessarily household names outside of New York, but these are guys that have been playing there their asses off, man, and doing what they could to make sure that they could stay in contention for the playoffs. So I don't begrudge them for that at all. But, of course, their gift in the first round is going to be the 2019 world champion Toronto Raptors. So,
yeah, well, there you go. But there's a good story nonetheless. Good story nonetheless. Let's go on Westbrook quick, bro. Of course, we know the Lakers. Look, it's not as suspenseful as it is in the East, right? I mean, sure, people say Milwaukee should win and get to the finals. But, again, Milwaukee has yet to get over the hump. They're a regular season. They're a better regular season team than a postseason team. That's just fact. And so I'm just looking to see if they can finally overcome the likes of Toronto, the defending champs, and Boston, even though they match up better with Boston than they do with Toronto. And even Miami. If Miami gets past the end, Miami's tough. So I think the East is more wide open than the West. Because let's be real. The West is about two teams. The Lakers and the Clippers. I know the Nuggets are a nice story. I love Nurkic. I love the point guard. And, you know, they've got a bunch of snipers. And they're well coached by Brendan Malone. But and I love OKC has a great story. You know, Chris, no one expected much of OKC out of they traded away both Paul George and Russell Westbrook. But here they are. The OKC, Dame Chris Paul, future Hall of Famer, Wake Forest alumnus. And they've been playing well. The thing is, man, Houston, I was hyping Houston, even though they don't have a guy taller than 6'5". But I mean, hell, I'm 6'4". I can probably post up half the players. Nah, let me just stop. I'm not NBA player. But I say this, man, it's going to be disappointing because Houston won't have Russell Westbrook at least for the first two games or so in the playoffs, and that's going to be huge.
Yeah,
especially if they go up against OKC because I was looking forward to seeing that match up a former player, go up against his old team. And not only that, but Chris Paul go up against James Harden. You know what I'm saying? That partnership that didn't exactly work out in Houston for a variety of reasons. So I was looking for that match. But that matchup, I don't think, without Westbrook for the first two games at least, it's not going to be as juicy. And I think it won't be as competitive as we once hoped. But, of course, there's Utah. Yeah. They're well coached, but aside from Spider Mitchell, I don't think people will give a damn about them. The Mavericks, I love Doncic. I love Luka, man. Luka's that dude. Luka got that swag. He's a European with some swag about him. I love his swag a lot. He's gonna be a featured star. He's gonna be a featured superstar, I think. I think this kid, this is his first playoff series. He's playing alongside the likes of Kristaps Porzingis, as well as Tim Hardaway Jr., two guys that my Knicks gave away for practically nothing, and they're flourishing. Makes me mad as well. God, being a Knicks fan always makes you suicidal. But anyway, seeing those two guys go alongside Luka, I think that they're a team on the rise. I don't think they're going to get past the Clippers. Obviously, I don't think they're going to win a game against the Clippers. I think they have sweep written all over it. Again, the playing game, though, Memphis and Portland. I'm sorry, Memphis. Memphis is just one of the teams. And if Portland wins tonight, they'll be the eighth seed. If not, Memphis will be the eighth seed, and Phoenix will be the ninth seed. But to me, I'm going to mentally fast forward to the Western Conference Finals, Lakers, Clippers. Tell me if I'm wrong with disrespect to the rest of the Western Conference.
You're wrong for disrespecting the Western Conference, but I don't think that you're wrong with who ends up in the finals. Because I was going to ask, is it wrong that outside of the Clippers, the only team that I see that can potentially be a threat to the Lakers is a team that's the ninth seed in the Portland Trailblazers? And thinking about that, I'm like, wow, that's insane to me. You know, I don't see Memphis as a threat. I don't even see necessarily Memphis beating Portland in that series, right? We don't necessarily know where Utah is going to end up. Utah, who is currently in the sixth spot, could end up if memory serves me, they could end up in the fourth spot or the fifth spot. There's still movement going around. Wait a minute, let me make sure before I put that out there. Let me make sure I check to make sure because I thought I saw that. No, I'm wrong. The only teams that could move are Houston and OKC in that situation. I am wrong. Those are only two that can move in that spot. So, yes.
Right.
Utah and Denver are the two teams, and actually Dallas, were the three teams I looked at not playing out of Los Angeles that I looked at as being a potential threat to win the Western Conference champion because I like that young talent that all three of those teams have. The problem is that they have young talent. None of those teams have done it, and none of those individual players have done it on any level yet, which is why I actually have the Lakers and the Clippers meeting in the Western Conference Finals. As talented as Denver and Utah are, whoever they come up against, they're going to end up facing a very talented and deep LA Clippers team. Even though I don't necessarily think that Dallas is going to get swept. I like that youth in Dallas, but I don't see them beating the Clippers. Once again, if that series goes past five, I'm going to be shocked. But I'm looking forward to being a very active five games. And then OKC in Houston. I'm just looking at either one of them to end up being chum against the Lakers. I really am. As interesting and as intriguing as small ball has looked, especially for the Houston Rockets, like you said with Westbrook and Harden and my man Robert Covington, who's actually like in the top five in the league in steals out of Tennessee State. I love seeing that dude out there balling as an HBCU representative. I don't see them being good enough to beat the Lakers. I don't. And that's why I'm not taking anything. I'm not taking past game three into consideration for what the Lakers and the Clippers have done. Like I said before, I just looked at them looking at that entire time as a tune-up and trying to figure out what everyone else is going to do. Matter of fact, the Clippers, was it the Clippers? No, that was Toronto. Toronto's another one of those teams who kind of was in that situation too where they actually had – Nick Nurse didn't coach their last game. Their assistant, Griffin, did.
I know you're talking about.
But, you know, the Clippers and the Lakers, I'm looking for both of them to make it into the finals. Who do I have winning in that scenario? I don't know still yet. Easy Money says go to LeBron. But Easy Money could also say go with Kawhi, right? So it's all about who's going to be the healthiest and the most prepared in this situation. Neither team has really done it. But they have pieces on both teams that have. So that's why I'm intrigued by this situation. And I would have loved to have seen this situation outside of the bubble with both teams playing in the Staples Center. No one necessarily getting a home court advantage, just like in this situation they won't be, and seeing who wins in the best of seven. I truly believe the Clippers have a better home court situation outside of the bubble than they would if they were to play three games in Staples. Because, of course, Staples is still the Lakers and then everything else in the Los Angeles.
Yeah, the Clippers are tenants. They're going to get their own crib near the Western Forum, the Great Western Forum, I think next year or the year after.
Yeah.
And they'll build an arena in Hollywood, I guess in Inglewood. Inglewood, not Hollywood Park.
Inglewood, yeah.
That'll be their home. That'll be cool.
Especially with your boy Kawhi B from the Wood.
That's right.
From the Wood
that's
area,
correct.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good enough for me. I'll say, man, I don't know. You're more hopeful about the Western Conference up and around Western Conference series than I am. I'll just say this. if Portland does get plays in the playing game tonight, they're playing Brooklyn right now. If they crunch a spot in the playing series and they end up getting that, they could take a chunk of flesh out of the Lakers because they match up pretty well against the Lakers, at least on paper. Because who on the perimeter for the Lakers could check Damian Lillard?
Who nobody. Can, like, keep an eye on?
Yeah, like Keith Sweat, nobody. But who could check C.J. McCollum, right? I mean, I guess it comes down for if you're Portland, do you have an answer for Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis has his better games against the Trailblazers. So that's what it's going to come down to. But that's why I give, obviously, the Lakers an answer. I think the Lakers could win it in six. So I was going to ask you if they're going to still have best of seven in the first round. So I guess that they are. I haven't heard any different.
I think that they are.
So they're not going to go best of five. All right. So that's too bad. I missed the best of five. But anyway, in that case, I can see the Lakers winning. I think the Lakers will win in six if they're playing Portland. If they're playing Memphis, it'll be a sweep. It'll be an easy sweep.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree with you. And actually, oddly enough, as of right now, that Portland-Brooklyn game is tied at 31.5.
Okay.
So, it's going to be really intriguing to see what happens. Portland, first and foremost, they need to get out of tonight because it looks like Brooklyn's not looking to lay down, even though they're locked at that number seven spot. They want to go ahead and, I guess, play – and be ready for the playoffs.
Brooklyn's tough. Brooklyn is so well coached. The culture is so awesome. Again, it makes me sick as a Knicks fan to watch, but, you know, they're tough. They're well coached. And when they get the two stars back next year, it's going to be all – the Eastern Conference is going to be all in the popping. It's going to be all in the popping. Because you think about Toronto was not going anywhere. Boston's not going anywhere. If Giannis stays in Milwaukee, they're not going anywhere. So, and of course, Miami is not going anywhere. Indiana's not going anywhere. The East is going to be a beast. If Kevin Durant comes back fully healthy as well as Kyrie, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be hella awesome. And Jacques Vaughn, who would have thunk of that star from University of Kansas who turned to be a pretty good NBA coach? Who would have thunk it? But there he is, doing his thing in Brooklyn. I'm proud of him. This is his first year in Brooklyn, too. I'm proud of the job that he's done, one black man to another. And, you know, it's good to see him get the opportunity. I know I think he was a coach. Was he coaching in Orlando for a while, or was he an assistant in Orlando for a while?
He must have been an assistant. If he was coaching anywhere else, he must have been an assistant.
Yeah. So this is great. This is a great first job. First time coaching job for Jacques, and I know the players respect him because he's a former player, and he was an excellent college player. He played in the NBA for a while too, so he has the players' respect, which is key. So it's good to see that. It's good to see the brother doing well. I have one last thing about the NBA before we move on to the college football. The NBA, like we said earlier, they have a good thing going with how they've done inside the bubble as far as no positive COVID-19 tests, the way they handled the Lou Williams situation, even though, again, I'm not mad at Lou Williams. Haven't been, and haven't will be, and never will be. but they're doing something. Adam Silver has considered doing something that may upset that delicate COVID balance, and that's bringing in, quote-unquote, guests. For NBA players. Apparently NBA players want to bring in more people outside of the media family. I don't know. I heard the media family is allowed in the bubble. I hadn't heard about any family members in the bubble. It might be true. I'm not too sure. Okay, now have I. So, but to bring in additional people, let's just call for what it is. They want to bring in some hoes. They want to bring in some hoes. This is a sex thing. I think NBA players are frustrated. They want to get the rocks off. I ain't mad at them. what it is. I mean, they wouldn't be such a big deal as much as the homeboys want to get in. I don't think they give a damn. I don't think they would, the players would give a damn. The homeboys couldn't come. This is all. These are women. This has IG hoes written all over it. Serious. This is players who want. This is them crying out to Adam Silver saying, "Hey, we want to fuck." That's what this is. That's exactly what this shit is. Let's just be real about it. Again, would the Stars be making a big-ass deal if it was their homeboys that couldn't get in? The answer would be hell no. No one would care about that shit. These are hoes. These are IG hoes wanting to come into the bubble. That's exactly what this shit is. I just hope and pray that they keep these IG hoes home. Chances are they're probably fucking everybody else anyway. But let's just keep them out. Look, come on now. You know I'm right. You know I'm absolutely right about this.
I know these IG hoes, they're
busy on their own. Let's just put it that way. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'll say this, though. I don't know if you remember. I can't remember what her name is. And I don't necessarily – I didn't know her before then, which makes it easier for me not to remember what her name is. But there was a young lady before the bubble started who basically said, oh, it don't matter. I'm going to find my way in there anyway, right? And which led a lot of basketball fans and sports writers to try to figure out, one, who she is, and two, how would she find her way in? And, of course, someone discovered a photo with her. And if memory serves me correctly, I hope I'm wrong because I don't want to go ahead and put this dude on blast. But it was, I'm thinking it was Los Angeles Clippers head coach Doc Rivers. But if it wasn't Doc, I know it was a head coach. I know that. It wasn't a player. It was most definitely a head coach. So if this young lady is talking about, I'm going to find my way in, if she ain't already been in, I'm surprised. Right now that they haven't been sneaking anyone in, unlike your boy with the Seattle Seahawks trying to sneak into his girl dressed as a player. My God.
I hope that pussy was worth it. He got his ass cut.
I hope because he got cut.
I hope
for
that
it.
Pussy was worth it for him. That was a $300,000 to $400,000 sex job. That was a $300,000 to $400,000 sex job.
That's
because
exactly
he lost his job.
Yeah, because, dude, my thing is this. If you're in camp right now, chances are you're with the team. I don't know how many players are going to end up – I don't know how many total they brought into camp, but I think they're going to have to keep a larger roster than normal because of COVID. But, yeah, your boy just went ahead and did something dumb. But I digress. That's not the NBA. Back to Adam Silver. If he does that, my guess is that this will be a reward for the players and the teams that have made it to the playoffs.
Good.
Hey, you made it.
Good.
You go ahead, we bring you some cooch. You go ahead, let you do what you do. The thing is this, though. If that's done and it's announced and a wife isn't brought in, it's going to be some problems. Because unless a player just says, God, it's going to be very difficult for a player to tell his wife, no, you can't come, especially if Adam Silver is allowing women to come, especially if that wife doesn't trust her husband. So, you know, whatever
which
happens.
Which NBA player is trustworthy outside of Grant Hill and maybe LeBron? Let's be real about it. Which NBA player is trustworthy? Again, these players, I said it like a few weeks ago, these players are pussy magnets. They're pussy magnets. People know who they are. Women know who they are. They see their faces, especially Olympia star, at least a star. Oh, my goodness. If Lou Williams has some wings named after him at a strip club, and he's a star, he's not a superstar, but if he has some name, some wings named after him at a famous strip club, you know NBA players to get you getting down. We know that. Come on, we know that. So, again. Hopefully, look, again, I'm not mad at the players who want some pussy. Every man deserves some pussy. Let's just be real about it. Every man deserves some pussy. But for the sake of finishing this playoffs, getting to these playoffs and finishing the playoffs without a case, without a star catching a case or an outbreak, break it out in the bubble, keep their asses home. Just keep their asses home. Keep them home. Because if you got an NBA player, first they work for title.
Is it worth a title?
Worth
my only
title.
Guess is, my guess is, though, if the commission is going to allow this to happen, these young ladies are going to be vetted as much as possible. They're going to be quarantined for a couple of days before they're let loose on the grounds to do whatever they're going to do or whoever they're going to do. So it'll be very interesting to see if that happens. It will.
Yeah, I just think they should keep their asses home. Keep their IG hoes home. That's my recommendation. If they must bring a woman in, if they must bring women in, bring a girlfriend or wife.
Bring a girlfriend, bring a wife. But yeah, if you're bringing in these, and don't get me wrong, some of these young ladies are pleasurable in the eye. But
yes, they are. That's why they're IG hoes. Yeah. That's why they're IG hoes. Because they're pleasurable in the eye. They're not no attachments. That's
but
why
you know
they're IG hoes.
If I'm playing for Brooklyn, if I'm playing for Orlando, if I'm playing for Memphis, I might do it. I'm not winning no title. Why not?
You're like, fuck it, you're not going to be there long anyway, right?
I'm not going to be there long anyway. Why not? But these
couple
weeks are pleasurable. Yeah.
but seriously, it's too stupid. But seriously, man, keep the asses home. Silver, those IG hoes are fine. We know that. There's a reason why the IG hoes. Let's keep it real. And keep it at that. Keep the asses home. If it ain't a wife or a significant other, keep the asses home. And even some, even the family, you still they got to be heavily tested as far as in quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't. I mean, can you imagine if an IG hoe comes in? Let's just say she like comes in and gives and services, quote unquote services, Damian Lillard. All right, she has COVID. Damian Lillard goes out there with the virus, gives the other dudes on the court, that would shut the whole thing down.
Yeah.
They would shut it down. And then imagine the same IG ho goes from Damian Lillard to
someone else.
Chris, God forbid, Chris Paul. And then it would just go spread and spread and spread because, again, they are IG hoes for a reason. They're IG hoes for a reason. So keep the asses home. We'll fuck you on the way out on the way home. If that's what you really want. If they're on their way out of the playoffs anyway. But until then, stay home. All right, that's my little soapbox, my PSA for the day. IG hoes, stay home. The more you know. All right, man, let's talk about these college football conferences in the pandemic, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen college football conferences, like mainly a lot of the FCS conferences, of course, include our beloved MEAC and SWAC. Well, the Ivy League was the first to say hell no to fall sports, period, right?
The first Division I, yes.
Yeah, they were the first ones. So, So all the FCS conferences followed suit. I think most of them have. For the most part, Liberty is FBS. But they're independent.
Yeah, FBS, yes, FBS.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So now you have more FBS conferences like following suit, right? UConn was the first, and I'll be independent. But the first FBS program to call off to postpone the 2000 the athletics for the fall of 2020. Then you had like recently the MAC, no MAC shows.
Wow.
And I obviously live in Ohio. This is middle of MAC country.
Yes.
And then you had I think Mountain West followed suit. He had actually the Mountain West falls right after the Pac-12. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. But the point is that you still have maybe one or I think two, maybe three, group of five conferences. I think the American is still going, is still planning to go at it, as well as well the Sun Belt and Conference USA. So that makes three. So three groups of five conferences are going to go ahead with it because the Big 12, the Big Ten, rather, was the first to say, "No, nah, we're not going to do the fall football thing or fall sports thing," as well as the Pac had go together like hand in glove. They fall immediately, almost immediately, follow suit. So, which leaves us with the SEC, aka the Beast, the ACC, our beloved ACC, and later the Big 12. Follow through to go with the two other major southern-based conferences to play football, and as a result, that's why you have the American Athletic Conference, the Sun Belt, and Conference USA, with especially with the Sun Belt being a southern conference, saying okay, we're going to still go ahead with football. Me personally, I don't think everyone's going to eventually cancel the fall season. At least postpone the fall season once more information comes out, because it's stuff fundamentally wrong, especially if some of those campuses are not allowing students back on campus to have the college to have the student athletes come in, particularly the football players. And yes, I get that there are probably protocols in place. Yes, I get that it's a structured environment, like Trevor Lawrence said from Clemson. That they do not, they being the student athletes, football players, would stand a better chance of contracting the virus if they're off campus than they would be on campus in the structured world. I get all that. But you're asking 18, 19, 20 year olds to go from the dorm to the facilities, to the football field, back to the facilities, back to the dorm. Taking classes online or what have you. You don't think there are going to be some 18, 19, 20-year-olds that would want to get a piece, go off campus, get a piece? Because these are the same campuses that some students having COVID parties. Those are real things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so you're asking your student-athletes to be put themselves at risk. And also they're signing things called waivers that if you get the disease – they're not liable. The schools are not liable.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that that's still a good idea for the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 and others to do this. Now, granted, look, from the selfish side of me, I would like for them to play at least a few games because this is the first and maybe the only time that Notre Dame would be in the conference. Right? Notre Dame will play all ACC schools, and as a part of the deal, they get to compete and for a spot, the chance to play in the ACC championship game. That's probably the only time this is going to happen. So I think me and a lot of other fans would like to see how Notre Dame would fare in an all-conference schedule. That, to me, would be awesome. But I think that wouldn't be fair. I don't think it would be right necessarily because, again, the risk involved with these young people, because these aren't millionaires. These are NFL players whose NFL franchises can afford to test well, to afford to get the protocols, to have the right protocols and whatnot. They don't have – college campuses don't have that. Even the Alabamas and the Clemsons of the world, they don't have that. As much as, by say, the Washington football team or the Steelers or the Cowboys, they don't have those. They don't have that. They don't have those resources. I don't know. I'm torn. I as much as I love to see Notre Dame play a conference schedule in the ACC, I just don't think it's right, man. I just don't.
And I'm in complete agreement with you, but I'm not one of these guys who are out here, you know, saying that everything has to halt. I'm not one of these doom and gloom guys. You know, there are a lot of there are people who are overly animate about college football being played, and there are people out there who don't want college football, let alone any sport, being played, right? And I'm somewhere in the middle. I am somewhere in the middle. Like, I am glad that hockey, Major League Baseball, but the NBA, the WNBA, they've gone through their bubbles with no cases, right?
MLS,
baseball,
too.
And MLS, yes.
MLS, a great job. The NHL's a great job, too.
Yes, exactly. So all of them, no cases, right? Baseball's had a time of it. They're still dealing with what they're dealing with, which is why I have an issue with college football doing it, because they're not going to be in a bubble. And I'm going to be intrigued to see how the NFL handles this with them not playing in the bubble either, right? But I digress.
Right.
The things that I get tired of hearing about, of course, that the loss of college football is going to come down to the loss of a lot of money. Now, some of it's true,
right.
Some of it not true. Now, yes, the loss of the TV deal, huge money, right? Yes, loss of TV deal is going to be an issue. You're not going to lose gate money, because certain states, they're not going to allow people to come out to your venue anyway to watch the games live. Tourism dollars, you're not going to lose that because people aren't coming to games. But people throw that out there as if that's revenue that's going to be lost. Forget about that. That's not even a part of the equation. It's just the TV money, and that's the major part of the finances that's going to be lost. We already understand, for those who pay attention, we already know that the decision makers are being highly affected by politics for various types. Number one, being, of course, the politics that
him too.
Especially, right? And a lot of the conferences and a lot of the conferences and teams that want to play or that will end up playing as of right now are in red states. So, they're still looking for the fine ways to come out and play. The other politics I'm talking about is the whole politics between – the politics and the posturing between universities and players. I don't know if you saw this tweet by a writer by the name of Joe Nocera, but he tweeted this last week. Here's the real reason the P5 will cancel football. It destroys the amateurism excuse that has given college sports free labor for a century. If games are played during a pandemic, even as campuses are empty, it will be possible to argue they are not employees.
So
to your point earlier, if they do come on campus, especially if it's an empty campus, and their sole thing is to come out and play football, then yes, they are football players for the state of whatever team or college that program is in. They become state employees at that point because they're generating revenue based on the TV deals that these conferences will receive. I don't see how you swing it any other way. My thing has been this. Don't want to play. And I understand the whole hashtag we want to play thing and the whole narrative of they're safer on campus than they are if they go home. My question has been this. Well, if they're safer on campus than they are at home, why don't we go ahead and take into consideration the first part of their so-called title of student athlete and have them be just students, right? And put that scholarship to work for at least a semester where they don't have to play and just have them go to class. Let them be students and have uninterrupted class. And they'll still be able to be and still have the opportunity to be tested on a safe situation like the confines of a college campus, and they'll be fine, right? That's what they're saying. If health is the true thing that we're focusing on, and let's be real, it's not. It's about the economics of this entire thing. But if it is the health and the welfare of these students, they're fine. Let them be students. Let them go to class. Test them on a regular basis. They'll be fine. That's what you're worried about. Because I find it interesting, when these kids were coming out and talking about social issues, coaches were coming. It was rare that you saw a coach come out, especially on the football side. It was rare that you saw a coach come out. It was rare that you saw AD come out. It was rare that you saw a university president come out. And it was rare that you saw a commissioner head come out. But now because it's football and because these guys want to play, now everybody want to come out the woodworks. And everybody want to champion these kids on, let them play, let them play. And that's like the fans. There were certain fans that went in support of these student athletes who were out here in support of social issues. But now that they want to play, now you want to push them on because they're your gladiators now. They're giving you entertainment. They're earning revenue for you. They're beneficial to you now in this aspect.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. Here's another layer I wanted to throw on top of that, particularly as it pertains to the Big Ten at 12. Now, you mentioned earlier about that tweet. Keep in mind that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have the We Are United hashtag, which called for, among other things, compensation for student athletes. Aside from racial equality thing, I don't have it in front of me, but it's on the PlayersTribune.com.
Yes.
Both groups from both conferences have up there right now to speak. And, you know, so basically, I think this is also the commissioner, not the commissioner, but, well, him and the college president saying, you know what, we're going to take control from these kids and not play. Because here's the thing. If they were to play, right, and they were to accept these kids, the young people's conditions for hashtag We Are United, I mean, that would open the door for unit, and it still might open the door for player unions in college football.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think, I think so in the South too, because you have the hashtag We Want to Play as well with Trevor Lawrence and the likes of Justin Fields. I tried to kill a spider and I missed. But, you know, I think we're still going to have a push for unions, a steady push, because these kids realize that they have power.
Yes.
And, you know, in the name of recruiting, I mean, I'm just saying, it's a game changer, but still, I think it would have really given the power to the players in the Big 12 and the Pac-12, which, I mean, call me conspiracy theory, but I think that has a lot to do with that as well, of not conceding any power perceived or real to these kids. And so
exactly.
I think that's also they pull the plug, at least on the fall. And I don't think they're going to play any football in the spring. I don't think so. I don't think logistically it'll work. I don't think it could work.
They're trying to figure out ways to make it work. I don't know how it's going to work. I just know the seniors and the guys who are NFL prospects are going to play.
Yeah.
They won't play. Why would you play when your combine and your workouts come around the time that spring football comes around? And the other thing that's going to be a logistical issue, of course, is the fact that you're going to have these guys play two seasons within a calendar year. That's going to be pretty tough, too.
Right.
It'll be intriguing to see if they attempted to pull it off, how do they do so? But to your point, the way that you stop the union is to stop them from being considered as employees of the state. If they perceive themselves to be employees of the state, they feel as though they can unionize. And you're right. The way to quell all of that is to stop them from playing altogether. Now, as much of a detriment as that is, it's more so a benefit to them because they're not risking themselves to come out there and play. Now, I understand that only 1% of the nation's population has come down with the illness, but do you want to be that 1%? You know,
and a player's eyes becomes definitely ill from COVID.
I'm
because
sorry.
As the science proves, it doesn't discriminate by age. The data is
No, it does not.
So to your point, do you want to, that these universities want to be the first to have a badly a grave case with a student, not only a student athlete, but with a star player, with professional aspirations. That's the other big thing.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's a good idea for these kids to be playing. I mean, people want to make it about politics and liberal this, liberal that. That's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, it's common sense. Let's use common sense. You're going to have a sport, a high-contact sport, where you're going to be rolling around, tackling and grabbing other guys, sweating on other guys, spitting on other guys. It's going to be hard to – and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I mean, even with all the tests in the world, it's still – you go. This to be a risk every game. And I know you said about basketball, hockey, and soccer – and baseball, if you don't go to casinos, a la the St. Louis Cardinals. But to me, the only way this could remotely work in college football with limited funds, not like the NFL, is if they keep the general population of students off campus. That's the only way this shit's going to work. That's the only way it's going to work. Do not allow fans in the stadium. Do pack the noise if you want to. I don't give a damn. But don't allow fans to stay in, don't allow college kids on campus. And make sure these football players stay within the confines of the complex. Dorm room, training facility, football facility, practice field, do some homework, study hall, online, do some online classes, back at it, work out, get treatment, go back to your dorm. Is it going to be boring as hell? You better believe it's going to be boring, especially for 18, 19.
You sure know it will be.
It's going to be boring. It's going to get old very quickly. We both speak from experience of being former college students. To sit still, it's going to get old quickly. Trust us on that.
8 to 10 weeks?
Oh, they're going to be having campouts for real.
After eight weeks.
But that's the only way it would work, and have those and have enforcement with teeth in it, you know, nothing penalties and not necessarily saying that kids should lose a scholarship over it, but still, it just has to maybe have them sell a game or run some extra steps at the stadium. I don't know. They'll figure it out. But the main thing is. For these colleges in the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12, keep the general population of college students the hell off of campus. That includes staff, that includes faculty. Keep them off campus. That's the only way it's going to work. If they don't do this, it's not going to work. If they don't do this, it's not going to work.
And then that's the other thing, too, because university is going to want to have it so that they're capable, once again, of generating revenue. And universities are a business. The only way to – well, I'm not going to say the only way, but, you know, they're going to try the online aspect, and a lot of universities have started that. But most students are going to want that in-person experience. And that means that you're going to have students on campus. That's going to be a problem. Because now you're quarantining the students. That's not going to work. It's not. But you know what? That's the thing. Because even if you're a student, to make sure that you don't bring anything to the campus and you're not the outbreak monkey, you're going to have to stay on campus as well. But that means you got to trust the individual that doesn't have anyone watching over them to do that. And I don't know how feasible that's going to be.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I don't know. It's just, and to those people out there, those old ass mow my lawn type dudes out there, get off my lawn type dudes talking about, they got a free education, blah 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. They're making so many millions of dollars for their school, especially for Power Five. And the college coaches are multimillionaires with generational wealth. Stop it with that whole crap. Stop it with that they got a scholarship and free ride bullshit. Come on, that's like pennies compared to what they're really worth. If they're really honest about it, and what the money that bring the amount of money bringing to the university on TV contracts alone. Stop it. Stop it with that nonsense. But let me just get y'all on this, man. We know, as you can see, by some like whether from some college football conferences, to, like during the season or otherwise, and the lack of organization surrounding it, it tells me one thing, man, and I think you know it too. The college football needs a commissioner. They need a czar, because let's just be real about it. Sooner or later, since the NCAA is not really in charge of college football, particularly FBS, on the FBS level, they're going to break off, especially the Power Five. I think the Power Five is going to break off and say, fuck this, and form their own thing. Hell, they run their own thing right now. They run their own thing around. I mean, the college football playoff, that's not through the NCAA. They don't get any money off of that. That strictly goes to the conferences. All that money, all that bowl money, goes to the conferences, straight to the conferences. No middleman involved. So, but I don't see, because not only because you got too many egos, you got too much money at stake.
Mm-hmm.
You got all these Power Fives making all whole shitload of money. And I don't think they're going to allow some dude or dudette to come in and be in charge a la Roger Goodell, because if they do that, that tells you, again, that this whole amateurism idea is none but a big sham. And for those reasons, man, they need one. They need a commissioner. I don't think it'll ever happen. And as a result, you're still going to have chaos like this amongst the Power Five.
No, there's no way they're going to have a commissioner. They're going to continue to allow what they currently have, which is their advisors come in and do just that, advise. Because if I'm the Power Five, I'm not going to want that, because what the commissioner could potentially come in and do is try to make it so that there's a little bit more of a level playing field within all the conferences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If I'm one of these five entities that generate so much revenue, matter of fact, they generate a third of the revenue. I'm trying to remember whether or not I talked about it on this show or not. But the Power Five conferences, the five conferences alone, generate almost a little bit over $4 billion by themselves based on the TV money, the bowl money, and the tournament money. Well, I'm sorry, the TV money and the bowl money and the championship money from the football playoffs, right? Because let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
All the teams that's making it to the football playoffs are the Power Five conferences. So
right.
All of that money that's in college basketball, but not the tournament. So with all of that money that they generate, they can go ahead and I don't know if you saw it, but there's an article that actually talks about just that. They can go ahead and just separate from the NCAA by themselves and run as an
that's
entity
right.
alone, right?
Right.
With those five conferences, you have 64 teams, 65 if you add in Notre Dame, right? That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough teams to go ahead and still have about 20 bowl games and a 16-team playoff, right?
Right.
And still have a quote-unquote college basketball tournament championship by
yep.
yourself. So if I can continue to generate this type of revenue by our amongst this group, why do I need to be a part of you guys? If anything, you guys are holding us up. You know, I mean, yeah, it's cute to have a Boise State. You know, it's cute to have a Cincinnati occasionally, Navy play well, you know, Western Michigan. I mean, it's cute when they do something, right? But they're
mm-hmm.
not bringing in the money that we're bringing in. Why
right.
do we need to continue to be with you, other than the fact of in the sake of competition? That's the only thing that's holding me here. It's competition. It's that I know that you exist, and to prove that we're the best, I still want to beat you. Central Florida, another situation. Cute, yes, but you're not a Power Five team. you know, and yes, it's cute to have y'all out there, but yeah, and I'm not going to allow a commissioner to come in and force me to do something I'm not going to want to do, especially if I feel as though that I don't have to be a part of you to continue to do what I'm doing. So, yeah. It sounds good on paper to have a commish.
Right.
But the Power Five conferences, I'm not going to allow that. They're not.
Right.
Because it doesn't benefit them.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, we both agree. Shit ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
They built this monster, though. That's the problem. That is the problem. Before TV deals became an issue back in the 80s, you know, amateurism was legit just that. It was amateurs going up against one another, and you had situations, you know, when you had BYUs, or when BYUs now part of the Pac-12, though, but you had SMUs, you had
right.
Navy, you had Army, and they were competing well against teams within these what are now the Power Five. Not no more, because they're the ones that get the large TV deals. Because of those TV deals, they're able to build up the facilities, and these facilities are able to attract the top talent. And because of this top talent and it being seen on TV, it becomes a ooh-ah factor for the kids and their parents to have their kids be seen in those conferences. So, yeah, why am I going to allow a commissioner to come in and stop that?
Right. That's the gravy train. Why allow why? It comes down to money, bro. I mean, that's why these college kids are still on campus. It's money. It's money. Mm-hmm. It's a common denominator, all this shit. It's money. So, yeah, this ain't going to happen. But this, we're going to see, bro. This is going to be, I tell you, man, 2020 could go to hell. It really can. It really can. I mean, all this shit. I mean, at least you get sports back in some capacity. But we ain't even talked about the NFL, but that's another podcast from other time. But
man,
nevertheless.
Listen. Yeah.
That's another whole can of words that we ain't got time to get into. But anywho, the point is we're hoping for the best for these college kids out there, because there's a real big risk out there. And, again, the selfish side of me wants to see it play out, because, again, this will be the first time Notre Dame will be in a conference, at least for 1 year. And I'm just eager to see how that's going to play out. But I just hope that they do right by these college kids, and I'm just hoping on a prayer that none of these kids get sick from this virus. I really can't. Because
I agree. I completely agree, and I understand that it is a slimmer chance than, well, I guess the way it's perceived for these guys to catch the illness. But at the same time,
right.
I don't want that to be a chance that they have to take. You know, and I don't want it to be a dice game for them. Just because they want to play football,
right.
Or in some cases they want to, you know, be able to generate revenue for their family by going pro at some capacity. Nah, I don't want them to risk that just for a year, man. Go ahead, take some time off, man. Get rested, get fit, get right, get healthy. Your time will come. I understand it's difficult, man. I know it's easier said than done, but don't put your life in because what happens if you do? Then you become one of those that have the opportunity to have a situation that's worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But it is what is unfortunate. But anyway, thank you, D. We'll do this again next week, brother. Take a light.
No diggity. You too.
No doubt. All right, peace out. That's my guy, Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on the dr.hcusports, where he raps about all things HCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio every Tuesday night right on Facebook Live. Thank y'all for tuning into the podcast. Scott Burks. And please remember, as always, if you can, stay at home. And if you're out, wear a damn mask. Last but not least, 06. Peace.